This is ESPN Chicago, WNVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
This is White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome on into White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000, your home of the Chicago White Sox. I am Jeff Meller. This is indeed the March 8th, 2025 edition of White Sox Weekly for you. Here on this Saturday afternoon, next White Sox broadcast coming your way as soon as we wrap up today here on ESPN 1000. Of course, Len Casper and Darren Jackson will be on the call as the White Sox host the Los Angeles Dodgers at Camelback Ranch. Of course, they both share that facility, but this time around, the White Sox will be the designated home team with Len and DJ on the call. Again, coming your way as soon as we wrap up here on White Sox Weekly today. White Sox were supposed to play yesterday against the Cubs, but that game was indeed canceled because of the inclement weather out in Glendale, Arizona. Some rain, chilly, 40, 50-degree temps, and the outlook much better today. So looks like we should get this one in between the White Sox and Dodgers again. That's coming your way right as soon as we wrap up here on White Sox Weekly. All right, lots of going on in spring training with the White Sox, and unfortunately, a good deal of it is related to injuries, as they seem to be mounting for the White Sox right now. Prelander Baroa and Juan Carella both will undergo season-ending Tommy John surgery, the White Sox announced yesterday, and both the surgeries will be performed by Dr. Keith Meister, so their season will be over, and that is unfortunate because Prelander Baroa has a live arm and was somebody who I thought, should the opportunity arise, could step in and potentially be the guy at the back end of the bullpen for the White Sox. But unfortunately, that will not be the case this season because of the Tommy John surgery that he will be undergoing. Some more injury news, not as devastating. Austin Slater is expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks, according to Will Venable, after having undergone imaging on the strained left oblique. He's still hopeful that he might be available for opening day, but that is not a certainty. Also not a certainty, but maybe something that is a little bit more optimistic than it was last week. That is the case of Andrew Benintendi, who had the non-displaced fracture of the hand after being hit by it in spring training earlier this season. And Benintendi is keeping open the possibility that he could be back in time for opening day for the White Sox. Now, that would be aggressive, but Benintendi is not ruling it out. It would be on the shorter timeline of the 4 to 6 weeks that one usually misses with a broken hand, but maybe, just maybe, Andrew Benintendi could be in the lineup for the White Sox on opening day. Oscar Colas left Thursday's game with a right wrist sprain. He's listed as day-to-day. The latest on Colson Montgomery. Now, the goal, according to Will Venable, is that they're hoping to have him back in game action for the White Sox on Sunday. So we shall see if that is indeed the case. Will he be back in the lineup tomorrow? If not, hopefully at some point early this week. So there's your latest injury news regarding the White Sox. It has been, I would say, a pretty rough go early on for the White Sox when it comes to injuries, and the outfield depth has certainly been tested here early on. As I mentioned, we are indeed just under 3 weeks away from opening day. In fact, 19 days away from today. Opener, March 27th at Wright Field against the Los Angeles Angels. Enter the Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes for your chance to win the Ultimate Opening Day Package. The winner and three guests will receive 100-level tickets to opening day, the opportunity for a pregame photo on the field, one custom White Sox jersey, and one $125 gift card to the team store. To learn more and enter today, visit whitesox.com/sweepstakes. So those are the injuries that hit the White Sox this past week. There were some roster moves from the White Sox that were announced. The White Sox have officially optioned Jake Eder and Jairo Arrieta to AAA Charlotte. They also optioned Wickelman Gonzalez to AA Birmingham. And then finally, both Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith were reassigned to minor league camp. But that is not the last we'll be hearing from Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith or Wickelman Gonzalez or Jairo Arrieta this spring, because we did get news of the spring breakout roster that was dropped officially by Major League Baseball on Thursday. And if you're unfamiliar with the spring breakout, that is when the highly touted, it's kind of like a futures game from each individual organization's minor league system, as they put a lot of their best prospects out in a matchup against another team's best prospects. And this year, the White Sox will be taking on the Colorado Rockies, and that game will be taking place on March 16th at Camelback Ranch. Noah Schultz versus Charlie Condon. Those are the headliners on the marquee for the spring breakout White Sox-Rockies game. Condon was drafted third overall by the Rockies. He led Division I in batting average, slugging percentage, OPS, and home runs. He hit 37 last year in college baseball. His plus-plus power has Rockies fans very excited about, especially when you consider the possibility of playing in the thin air in Denver and Coors Field. So he is the headliner for the Rockies. And, of course, I've gone over Noah Schultz ad nauseum. He is the top left-handed pitcher in all of baseball, in front of just Hagen Smith, only by a hair. Lots of great names on the White Sox roster, including Sean Burke, who may be in line for a rotation spot. We'll talk a little bit more about him coming up later on here on White Sox Weekly. Wickelman Gonzalez, a key member in the Garrett Crochet deal. Schultz and Hagen Smith, of course, two prize lefties in the Sox system. Also, Grant Taylor, a very hard thrower who can hit triple digits and actually solve a Rubik's Cube in under 45 seconds. So, of course, Edgar Caro and Kyle Teal are both included as catchers. And then Tim Elko, who's done a nice job this spring, along with Jacob Gonzalez, Chase Meidroth, Colson Montgomery, and then Braden Montgomery. a pair of Montgomerys. Talked quite a bit about them in the offseason as well. And one final name I wanted to highlight, local kid from Downers Grove, George Walkow, 6'7", 19-year-old who went to Downers Grove North. And we shall see. He has a lot of power, very young still, of course, but he will be a player on the White Sox spring breakout roster, which will be, again, coming your way next Sunday, not tomorrow, but next Sunday, March 16th, as the White Sox will take on the Rockies at Camelback Ranch. All right, coming up on White Sox Weekly, want to dive into some interesting things I heard via Major League Baseball Network on their 30 Clubs in 15 Days, which featured the White Sox this past Thursday. Lots of good stuff from Will Venable. Also heard from Colson Montgomery. But what surprised me was some of the pushback I heard in regards to something White Sox general manager Chris Getz said. I'll let you hear what that was right here on White Sox Weekly, on your home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We are 19 days away from opening day at Wrate Field. White Sox baseball is back. Join us at Wrate Field for opening day on March 27th as we take on the Los Angeles Angels at 3:10 p.m. The first 20,000 fans in attendance will receive a 125-year anniversary plush blanket presented by BMO. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. And who will be starting for the White Sox on opening day? I think that's an interesting question, because it could certainly be Martin Perez, who is the veteran who the White Sox signed in the offseason, and he will no doubt be in the rotation. He has already shown his veteran leadership in the clubhouse, talking about how it starts with belief in themselves, being the White Sox, before they can turn this around. But so you like to hear that. But it could also be Davis Martin, who, if you look at the way pitchers have been throwing in terms of timeline, if things stay as they are right now, Davis Martin could line up nicely to be your opening day starter. And he certainly has impressed early on here in spring training. Four scoreless innings and picking up somewhat where he left off last year when he had a really nice run throughout the majority of August. And the interesting thing, I found this pretty cool. Davis Martin joined Chuck Garfine on the White Sox podcast earlier this week. And it seemed to come out of nowhere, right? Where all of a sudden Davis Martin was somebody who was getting everybody out. For a six-start stretch from August 7th through September 6th, Davis Martin had 32 innings pitched. He struck out 27. He only gave up 9 earned runs in that period of time and only walked 9, gave up 25 hits. And that's a 2.53 ERA and almost a strikeout per inning. And so Chuck Garfine asked Davis Martin, what exactly happened? Why did you all of a sudden become a very interesting pitcher at the beginning of August last year?
Yeah, they opened up with, hey, can you come over here real quick? I'm like, yeah, sure. They're like, hey, your changeup stinks. And I was like, okay. Do y'all have anything else? Or is this just fun banter we're going with here? And they were like, no, we think we have something for you. And showed me the pitch. Felt weird, but they said, go play catch with it. See what happens. So Katz comes and watches me play catch, and I throw first, second one, didn't feel great. Third one, it just bit and went. And Katz from behind me goes, oh, God. And I was like, is that what it's supposed to do? And he goes, throw it again. And does it again. And then we get on the mound, does it again. And we all kind of look at each other and we're like, we got something here, you know? And so next day in the scouting report, it's like, hey, guys, this guy can get a changeup. This guy can get a changeup. Chucky, if we can.
Chucky Robinson.
Yeah, Chucky, if we can get that, sprinkle it in, let's do it. I think we ended up throwing 20. And I threw some of the best ones that I've ever thrown in that game. So, yeah, no, it was a pitch that, grabbed it, immediately clicked.
So what does the ball do when it's thrown effectively to get a hitter?
If I feel it rip off this seam, yeah, I know it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. And you mix it with throwing it hard and having a good movement profile, usually is a recipe for success. So yeah, that's.
So what does the ball do?
It basically just drops, plummets. Mm-hmm. So it's going to present itself like a fastball, and at the last second, it's going to just die. And so halfway through the plate, it's going to be looking like my sinker. It's going to be looking like my four seam. It's going to be looking like the cutter, and out of nowhere, it's just going to drop. And it basically is an inverse of my slider. So now we were working at multiple planes. So for me, it was not only was the pitch good, but it really fit into my arsenal as well. It was able to really play off of it throughout the season.
So. And how hard are you throwing it?
Right now, probably around 90, 91.
That's where you want to be?
Yes. Yeah, the harder, the better. I joked this offseason with one of my best friends. I said, I hope I can throw my kick change faster than my fastball this year. He goes, you're an idiot. I said, okay.
That'd be the first time in the history of mankind.
Maybe, right?
Yeah. My changeup is faster than my fastball.
Exactly. So, it's fun. We'll play with it and see what happens. So.
That's an interesting goal, to have a changeup that you actually throw harder than your fastball. Of course, just kidding there. But as I mentioned, Davis Martin, for that six-game stretch from August 7th through September 6th, even though he did not win a game, 32 innings, 34 hits and walks for a whip of 1.06, which that is outstanding. Anything below 1-1 is a fabulous whip. So he kept runners off base during that stretch. And clearly, I think that's one of the fun things about watching pitchers throughout the year is you never quite know exactly what's going on sometimes, but they're always tinkering. And to hear Davis Martin tell that story, I don't know if it was mentioned at the front of the clip there, but Brian Bannister and Ethan Katz were the ones who actually called him over and said, hey, your changeup stinks. We have to figure something out here. And I think that's a great anecdote when you look at what Brian Bannister, in conjunction with Ethan Katz, has brought to the White Sox organization and why I think the future continues to be bright. I've talked a lot about Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. during the off season here on White Sox Weekly. We're all extremely excited as Sox fans about two potential dominating aces in the fold here in the future who have all the talent in the world. But what also gets me really excited is when you have a voice like Brian Bannister in the organization helping people like Davis Martin get the most out of their talent with slight adjustments and just new ideas that I think are going to help bring the White Sox along here in the future. And it's not just someone like Davis Martin, but Sean Burke, who's also vying for a rotation spot. And I found this note interesting in Jeff Passan's most recent article on ESPN.com. He had things that were standing out around spring training after speaking with insiders around baseball. And Passan's note on Sean Burke, White Sox pitcher, was this. One of the bright spots after posting the most losses in baseball history for the White Sox ended 2024 believing that Sean Burke would be a part of the rotation going forward. This spring has done nothing to dispel that notion. At 6'6" and 230 pounds, Burke pairs a high-octane fastball with exceptional carry. His downer of a curveball flummoxed hitters during an impressive four-outing cameo in September. A better changeup would round out his arsenal. Maybe, just maybe, they'll teach him the kick change. But as long as Burke lives near the strike zone, he can subsist on a fastball, curveball, slider diet as the White Sox await the arrival of their two best prospects, left-handers Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith, to fill out a rotation that could be a strength by the end of 2025. And obviously, everything starts with pitching. When you have five-plus starters that you can trust, everything kind of falls in line after that. So another reason to be encouraged for White Sox fans. Sean Burke actually also caught up with Chuck Garfine, and I mentioned, you know, and even in the start of that little nugget from Jeff Passan's piece, he mentioned, you know, the historically bad 2024 for the White Sox. There certainly aren't a whole lot of expectations surrounding the White Sox around baseball, but Chuck Garfine asked Sean Burke about the possibility of starting out hot and maybe surprising some people.
It'd be awesome. I think, you know, like the city of Chicago is a great sports city. You know, I grew up outside of Boston, Boston fan. Like, I think there's a ton of similarities between the two cities sports-wise. Like, the fans care. You know, I see other fan bases, like, you know, people get mad or players get mad when the fans are too hard on them. Like, I welcome that. Like, I understand that these fans, the city has a high expectation for what their sports teams can do, and it's a big market. And I think more than anything, like, obviously we as players and as an organization want to have success, but to give back to those fans and be able to have some success for them and show them that we're going to be trending in the right direction.
2021, they're in the ALDS. Mm-hmm. White Sox are in the ALDS.
Yeah.
There was a game against Houston, and I mean, guaranteed right field. Now it's right field. I mean, it was pumping.
Yeah,
it was something else.
Uh-huh.
And you know, three years have, you know, gone by like a in a blink of an eye, and it's, you know, it's up to you guys to get the fans back. And I can see that you guys want to do everything you can to make that happen.
100%. I mean, the fans are huge for us. Like, I think playing in those environments, I got a little bit of taste of that playing in San Diego. Like, there's just that kind of environment where the fans are super into it. And it's, you know, these fans here are no stranger to that. Like, they've showed up for these games. They're good fans. They know baseball. So, like I said, man, we're trying to turn this thing around for them, for us, for everybody.
So there you go. Sean Burke, encouraged by the possibility of the White Sox maybe surprising some folks and talking about the high expectations surrounding the team being in a city in Chicago, which I know White Sox fans would certainly like to hold the team to high expectations. It would be great if the team could reward the fan base with a lot more wins this season. That would be certainly the hope. One name I do want White Sox fans to keep an eye on, because he's started to, the more opportunities he's gotten in spring training, he's starting to really show that I think he's making a spot for himself on the roster, and that would be Penn Murphy out of the bullpen. And listen, if you're going to come out of the bullpen, what better name than Penn, right? But Penn Murphy, and that's M-U-R-F-E-E, he is back and throwing after having Tommy John surgery at the end of the 2023 season. So he missed all of 2024. But in 2022, when Penn Murphy broke through for the Seattle Mariners, he had an exceptional year. Through 69 and a third innings, struck out 76 and had a 2.99 ERA. He was 4-0 that year coming out of the Mariners' bullpen.
before he suffered the UCL injury, which he did have to have repaired in at the onset of 2023. But now he's a full year plus removed from Tommy John surgery, which they always say, you know, around 18 months is when you finally get back to throwing like you once did, get that command back. And now in 2025, Penn Murphy is at Sox camp and looking like somebody who he's only given up one hit so far this spring. And he's looking like somebody who could be a piece that Will Venable uses quite a bit if he continues to pitch the way he has in spring training and he gets back to that season he had in 2022. He could be a real nice find for the White Sox. So keep an eye on Penn Murphy. Again, M-U-R-F-E-E, not P-H-Y. Some players that White Sox fans are familiar with, of course, Colson Montgomery, who still waiting to see what's going on with that back. Will Venable mentioned that he's progressing as we speak here. Colson Montgomery hopped on the MLB Network show that we talked about earlier, and he talked about being surrounded by so many good players in Glendale.
You can look around all big league camp and you just see all the young talent, and I feel like that's a big thing that the fans and everybody can look forward to. And also we have a lot of really good veterans who've had time, and they're kind of steering us in the right direction and everything. And I think it's a good little mix and good camaraderie going on right now, and I think it's a good chemistry.
What are we working on? Do we need to work on defense?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, I fix up a lot of stuff in the fall league and at the end of the year with the bat, kind of just more decision-making stuff, because once my decision-making is good, I feel like everything starts flowing naturally. But defensively, I'm just trying to pretty much play with a little more urgency and things like that, because guys in the big leagues, they get down the line faster.
Yeah.
I mean, and they hit the ball a lot harder at you, so it's pretty much just being locked in every single play, and I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job of that.
So there was Colson Montgomery again with Mark DeRosa on Major League Baseball Network this past week when they highlighted White Sox spring training in their 30 clubs in 15 days feature. Another man who hopped on was Andrew Vaughn. White Sox fans are obviously very familiar with Andrew Vaughn. He's now entering his fifth season as a member of the White Sox. He'll be a middle of the order hitter, no doubt, probably hitting third or fourth as he mans first base. And Andrew Vaughn was asked what it feels like now that he's actually one of the veterans in camp.
Yeah, man, time flies. It's been a crazy ride, but I've enjoyed every second of it.
You played a lot, and that's really all you can ask for when you start your big league career, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. My first year in 21, getting to come up, you know, learn the outfield, that was kind of cool. But just being able to be in the lineup is so special.
When you're in a lineup, not all lineups are created equal. How do you go about your role on this team offensively?
Yeah, you know, I just got to go up there and do what I can do. Not do anything more, not do anything less. Just go in there and put competitive at-bats together.
And how is it to be competitive on a team where you see all of your friends get traded nonstop? Is that a tough thing for you?
Yeah, you know, it's a business. It's baseball. Just got to go out there and I got to do my job, do what I can control.
And when you think of that, the number one goal for you this year, is it cut down on chase, higher on base? You want to increase your slug? What is it that you're looking at, that number one goal for you?
Yeah, I think it's all those things. I think the one thing that kind of surrounds everything is just limit that chase. Just keep it in the strike zone and good things will happen.
Andrew Vaughn talking about some of the stuff he needs to improve upon as he enters his fifth season for the White Sox. Probably, again, someone who you can see, like, in all likelihood, hitting third or fourth most days in the middle of the White Sox order. Today, the White Sox take on the Dodgers. Len and DJ will have the call as soon as we wrap things up here on White Sox Weekly. I mentioned earlier that we are 19 days away from opening day for the White Sox, but we're actually just 10 days away from the Major League Baseball opener, which will be taking place in the Japan series. The Dodgers will be taking on the Cubs for a pair starting on March, that would be March 18th and 19th. So Tuesday, March 18th, Wednesday, March 19th, the Dodgers and Cubs will kick off the Major League Baseball season with two games that are actually regular season games. And you'll have an interesting mix of Japanese players. You'll have three of the four starters of Japanese descent, talking about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki, who will both be starting for the Dodgers, and Shota Imanaga will be pitching for the Cubs in one of those games. So that's pretty cool. And of course, I didn't even mention, how about that guy Shohei Ohtani? He'll be batting leadoff for the Dodgers and doing what he does. So 10 days away from meaningful regular season baseball coming your way. Of course, that will be a very early 5 a.m. start Central Time if you want to wake up early and hopefully see the Dodgers get off to a 2-0 start. I am Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. We'll come back and wrap things up and get you set for Len and DJ on the call. And we'll take a quick spin around Major League Baseball, let you know what's going on around the rest of the MLB when we come back right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller here in your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Hey, Sox fans, cover your bases with the new ballpark pass. For a limited time, get access to every home game in March, April, and May. Your ballpark pass includes tickets to opening day and exclusive giveaways, celebrating the unforgettable moments, legendary players, and iconic eras that have shaped the 125-year legacy. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/ballpark pass. All right, so Major League Baseball Network has a series, 30 clubs in 15 days. They've been doing it for years now where they give you a little bit of a glimpse of what's going on at spring training of all the Major League Baseball teams, and they air it throughout 15 days. And, of course, this week we got the White Sox edition and lots of great content coming out. We're going to share some of that with you, including Mark DeRosa catching up with new White Sox manager Will Venable. DeRosa led off by asking Will Venable what exactly was his message to the team when he first arrived at training camp.
We just kind of set some expectations for the clubhouse, for the field, and then we just wanted to talk about spring training and how we're going to use it to prepare for the season.
Talk to me about, you had a first row seat to one of the greatest managers the game's ever seen, Bruce Bochy. I had fortunate to play for him, got a chance to win a World Series with him, you the same. What did you learn from him that you will bring over here?
You said it, he's maybe the best of all time, and you know, whether it's communicating with players, how he sets up practice schedules, you know, some of the adversity stuff as far as, you know, addressing the team and getting guys in good spots, just every step of the way, this guy's as good as it gets. So, you know, hope to be able to pick a couple things here and there from him. But, you know, I'd be lucky to do it as well as Bush does it.
Why is this a spot for you, Will? I mean, it's a total rebuild. There's a bunch of stud young players walking around. But why did you feel you were going to get a managerial job at some point? Why would the White Sox?
The idea of being on the ground floor and building something is attractive. And certainly just kind of going into the interview process and getting understanding for Getsy and his vision and seeing how much he's accomplished in the year. You know, I have a full confidence that this organization is heading in the right direction and is excited to be part of it.
All right, what do you believe in, man? What's Will Venable's philosophy? What does he want the White Sox to play like?
You know, right now, it's just about going out and competing every day, you know. I think kind of how that looks on a daily basis is going to be a result of who we have and how we are able to maximize our skill sets out there. But we just know we have to go out there and compete, and these guys are all on board, and it's been a good camp so far.
All right, so we open up some stuff to Twitter or X to ask some fan questions. I have one right here from the Sultan of Clout. Does Will Venable believe in bunting?
I do, sure.
We had to.
Yeah, I do believe in bunting. I believe in whatever is going to help us win a game, you know, and certainly that there's going to be times when bunting is going to help us do that, and got to score runs any way we can, and bunts can help.
There's prospects all over this place. I had a chance to interview Colson Montgomery, Kyle Teal. Is there one that's kind of caught your eye a little bit more than the other?
Kyle Teal obviously sticks out just with the energy and what he brings every day.
Jersey guy.
Yeah, he's been amazing. And he can play, too. You know, really good athlete and just a good guy like the rest of them. So they're all really sticking out, really.
So there you go. Will Venable with Mark DeRosa on Major League Baseball Network earlier this week. I think for White Sox fans, what you hear from the new skipper is the encouraging message that he wanted to be in on the ground floor with the White Sox this year. Him and Chris Getz seem like they are in lockstep when it comes to what they're trying to do with this organization. We know that last year was clearly a rough year. It really feels like at this point can't get worse. So the nice thing is the trajectory is going upward, and having Will Venable hopefully in the dugout for a long time, a positive upbeat manager, I think is going to serve this team well, especially when we talk about all the younger players, which we've listed and talked about ad nauseum over the last couple of months here, because the White Sox pipeline really is going in the right direction. So having Will Venable there with the same message now starting, I think is a great, great thing for the White Sox. He did talk about, Mark DeRosa talked about bunting. You know, there's a time and place. I think good on Will to not close the door on that, but obviously anybody who is into the analytics knows that giving up outs rarely is a good thing. But the beauty of baseball is that it is not played on a spreadsheet. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to get too dug in on whether or not bunting is going to be something that Will Venable embraces. I hope that they get away from bunting as much as they did under Pedro Grifol, but we shall see how that plays out. So that was good to hear from Will Venable. Now, I think what I was surprised by when I watched the White Sox version of 30 Clubs in 15 Days on Major League Baseball Network was the response to Chris Getz. And this was something that I was not anticipating when I initially saw this, but there were a lot of people who took umbrage with some of the things that Chris Getz said. First, I'll let you hear what he had to say in regards to the Garrett Crochet trade and how that came together.
You know, in season, you've got the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
It's a built-in deadline that creates all this urgency, and kind of you get, it just provides a lot of clarity. Teams have to decide whether they're in or they're out. The offseason is a little bit different. Creating kind of the soft deadline at the winter meetings, knowing that, you know, front offices are there, some ownerships are there, there's a lot of media attention. It's so I told teams, you know, we're probably going to get something done. And then, you know, when boss, I got a text from Breslow pretty late. That he was motivated to get something done. We connected the following morning, and boom, we were able to get that thing to the finish line. And, you know, I think both sides, you know, I think are really happy. And
could be win-win for both, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the idea, right? I mean, Garrett Crochet was a very good pitcher for us. He's going to be very good for the Boston Red Sox, and we're really excited about the players we have here in camp. So to get, you know, Kyle Teal, Braden Montgomery, you throw a Mydroth in there, and then Wickelman Gonzalez, it's a big arm. It's a big deal for us, and I just love being around these guys right now.
Yeah, so that wasn't the controversial soundbite from Chris Getz. If you've been listening to White Sox Weekly or you've just been reading some of the comments from Chris Getz, he's talked about the deal for Crochet now for quite some time. Everybody's excited about Kyle Teal and Braden Montgomery, who I think are really the key pieces in the deal, but obviously, don't dismiss Chase Mydroth or Wickelman Gonzalez. Both of those players, I think, will see, you know, anticipate both those being on the Major League roster this year. And then whether or not Teal or Montgomery make their debut this year, maybe next year, we'll wait to see on that. But I think everybody around baseball would agree that what Chris Getz was able to get in return for Garrett Crochet was a nice package. However, what I found interesting was the response to the follow-up question from Mark DeRosa. Mark DeRosa said, okay, you still have a emerging superstar on your roster walking around spring training right now. And, of course, he's talking about Luis Robert, which led Chris Getz to say this.
Luis gotten a ton of attention, and I say that because he's got superstar ability. And for us, we just got to keep this guy in the field. And, you know, what he does on the defensive side, the amount of power he has, his plate discipline, if that improves, I mean, we're looking at an all-star type player, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't garner some MVP votes.
All right. So there was quite the response to the idea that Luis Robert could garner MVP votes this season. And I think when you drill down, that is in no way whatsoever a controversial statement. Luis Robert, back in 2023, when he had his best year, White Sox fans will remember, he was really just a great player to watch day in and day out. He had a 5-WAR season. He had 38 home runs. He stole 20 bases. He hit .264 with a .315 on base. During that season, when the White Sox only won 61 games, Luis Robert actually got some MVP votes that season, right? And I think the point is he had 21 votes that year. I think what you need to understand is that when MVP voters submit their ballots, they have a 1 through 10 ranking, and you know, if you get placed 10th overall, you're going to get some votes. And that's essentially, I think, what Chris Getz is saying. It's nothing outlandish. It's a simple, it's the age-old adage in baseball, take a look at the back of the baseball card, right? And so for me, some of the younger listeners out there, maybe you didn't grow up looking or staring at the back of a baseball card. But essentially what that means is that, you know, throughout the course of a 162-game season, one of the beauties of baseball when you watch it year in and year out is the repeatability by players when they stay healthy. 162 games, more often than not, you will see players throughout their career finish somewhere in the same range over and over and over again. Specifically, too, when you're talking about players in their prime, right? And that is exactly what we're talking about with Luis Robert, a player who is at 27 years old in the absolute prime of his career. Right now in spring training, looks great. You know, the power's back. Looks like he's doing a pretty good job, at least so far, what you can take away from spring training, of cutting down a little bit on the chase rate. And if he just does that even a little bit and he's able to get out there and be healthy, which is one of the caveats that Chris Getz put when he said, if he's out there, he stays healthy, he's going to be a guy who I don't think anybody would be surprised hits 30 home runs easy. You know, could you know, get to the upper echelons of in the high 30s, maybe even 40 if everything fell into place, especially playing at Wrigley Field in the summer. We know at times that can be a bandbox. So, you know, there's a lot of things going in Luis Robert's favor. I haven't even mentioned the fact that he's won a Gold Glove. He's regarded around baseball as one of the better defensive center fielders out there. So, and then if he's as the weather warms up, because I know that both Getz and Will Venable have talked about early on kind of playing it safe in regards to, and I think that means on the bases with Luis Robert, you know, when in the cold weather, not necessarily pushing him to run early on in what can be, you know, some pretty brutal weather in Chicago early on in some of the Midwestern states across where the White Sox play a lot of their games early on. So if they're going to ease him in and if he can stay healthy, Luis Robert is going to be a player who in all likelihood hits 30 home runs, probably steals you 20 bases as the weather warms up when he's out there, plays Gold Glove caliber center field. And again, if he just increases his chase rate a little bit, and that's something we have seen in spring training so far, if he can apply that, be out there virtually every day, he's going to in all likelihood be one of the best 20 players in the American League. And when you do that, if you look at the history of MVP voting, usually, again, you'll be probably on the down ballot, especially if, for whatever reason, the White Sox aren't in playoff contention, which, you know, that those are some lofty expectations. But you can be on the down ballot of the MVP votes, and you're still garnering some votes. And I think that's all that Chris Getz was really saying there, was that Luis Robert is one of the most talented players in the American League, in all of baseball. We've seen it. And so if he can just get out there and be healthy, and I don't think that was controversial in any way, but a lot of people that I heard this past week found it in some ways like an egregious miscarriage of justice to say that Luis Robert could potentially receive some MVP votes. I don't see it that way. I think he's the best player on the roster right now and somebody who's already received MVP votes. And he did that in playing in only 145 games in 2023. If he gets out there 150 times for the White Sox and does what he's capable of doing, I would be surprised if he doesn't receive MVP votes. So it's for Luis Robert, it's really just about health. And listen, if the White Sox surprise in any way and they end up winning more games than a lot of people expect, you better believe that Luis Robert's going to be a key cog in that. And then the narrative starts surrounding the player and, oh, hey, look at what the White Sox are doing on the South Side. Nobody thought they would do that this year after the season they had in 2024. If they're able to do that, I promise you that Luis Robert will absolutely get some MVP votes. So I was just surprised to hear some of the backlash that came out regarding a simple, I don't want to call it a throwaway statement, but I just thought that was Chris Getz highlighting the best player on his roster and just saying if he's healthy and out there, he's somebody who's one of the better players in Major League Baseball. And maybe people got a little too hung up on the fact that maybe they're thinking, oh, MVP votes, that means he's going to be a top five finisher, which is not what Chris Getz said. So that's my take on Chris Getz saying that Luis Robert could get some MVP votes. For all out there who are concerned that that was a some type of bald-faced lie, I highly disagree. I think Chris Getz was just backing his player. This is White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. We're bringing you up to today's broadcast of White Sox Dodgers coming your way as soon as we wrap up here on White Sox Weekly. Len Casper, Darren Jackson will have the call as they always do right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Oh, yeah, a little Flo Rida for you here coming back on White Sox Weekly as we get you ready for Len Casper, Darren Jackson. They'll be on the call of today's White Sox game coming your way in just about 5 minutes from now. White Sox Dodgers at Camelback Ranch. And why are we playing Flo Rida? Because earlier this week, the White Sox announced the Flo Rida post-game concert at Wrigley Field presented by Coca-Cola. That is on June 27th. So if you want to be in the stadium for the Flo Rida postgame concert, go ahead and make sure you grab those tickets now. Again, June 27th for White Sox games. Sox fans head to the ballpark on Saturday, March 29th as the White Sox take on the Angels at 1:10 p.m. The first 15,000 fans in attendance will receive a 1907 replica jersey presented by Rush. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/promos. All right, before we get on out of here, let's take a quick peek around Major League Baseball. Yeah, a little This Week in Baseball for you folks. All right, Lawrence Butler has agreed to terms with the Athletics for a 7-year, $65.5 million extension. Vladimir Guerrero revealed that the final offer that the Blue Jays made to him was less than $600 million. How insulting. The Dodgers are apparently closing in a long-term extension with their manager, Dave Roberts, after their World Series championship last year. Yankees pitcher Luis Gil has been shut down and is expected to miss at least 3 months with a lat strain. Jose Altuve is expected to play mostly in left field this year. Adelis Garcia, the Rangers all-star outfielder, is feeling pain in his left oblique. Boy, those oblique muscles, man, they certainly have become more and more prevalent as we've seen more and more velocity across baseball. The Padres agreed to a minor league deal with Jose Iglesias, who had a really nice end of the season last year with the New York Mets. And then finally, the Yankees' Giancarlo Stanton has received more injections in his elbow as his season and the status on when he could return remains up in the air right now. All right, folks, that is going to do it for me here on White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller. Again, keep it here for White Sox and Dodgers coming your way next, right here on your home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.